introduce our second speaker. Her name is Lisa.
I'm an addict named Lisa. I am beyond grateful. Not that I'm, this might sound a little self-centered, because I am a work in progress. But there's actually people that came to this meeting, like, to hear me. And before I got to Narcotics Anonymous, people would pay me to get away, to shut me up, you know. I was talking to a lady last night. We were leaving, and I said, "Oh, you look like a friend of mine." And she just nodded her head, "Yeah." And I said, "That's right, you are a friend of mine." Because here in Narcotics Anonymous, that's what we do. We love one another, you know. And when I came in here, like, I didn't have a concept of that. I didn't have a concept of, like, I didn't even know what self-centered meant. I don't even know if I ever heard the word self-centered. And talk about God, like that, like, man, when I first got clean, that made my skin cringe. You know, I kind of, like, grew up Catholic, in a Catholic-type environment, and that's really funny because I grew up in a very dysfunctional family. Like, I could relate to Becky a lot on a lot of levels, but we have a lot of differences. But I know the feeling, and I know the pain of just, like, wanting to use and can't stop, and wanting not to feel something that, you know, was kind of, like, embedded in me. See, I grew up, you know, I don't know my dad, right? Him and my mom were married for 3.5 years. Or my brother's 3.5 years older than me, and they, you know, so they were married for a time. And I grew up with a couple stepfathers, and, you know, they were very abusive. And, you know, one would drink, you know, or I would be afraid to walk too hard because then I might get picked up by the table, by my hair, you know, from the table. And the other one, I was afraid that would drink one too many and just beat my mom to death because I watched her get beat with hangers, you know. And I remember, like, calling my dad's mom, right, I only met her a couple times, or even my mom's mom, and crying, "Please just get me out of here." Like, I didn't want to be there. I felt so different from everybody. You know, I was so, like, I don't know where my self-centered came from. I don't know if it came because I was self-sufficient growing up. I didn't have anybody. I didn't feel like anybody cared about me. Nobody would come and take me and help me. They just wouldn't. So I kind of, like, did things on my own, you know. And, like, I was molested at an early age, but it wasn't inside of my home. It was outside with a family friend. And, you know, I kept going there, right? Because, like, he had this nice stuff. And the only person that I ever felt love was from my grandfather. And you know what I identified that with? He bought me a necklace and a bike. Because that's the only thing that I knew. He was the only one that didn't beat me or, like, you know, use me for sexual, you know, needs. Because everything up until Narcotics Anonymous, my sex was a job. That's all I knew. You know? You know, I remember being 14 and 15, walking around with black and blue eyes because my boyfriend loved me. He was jealous. So he beat me. And then he would come by and beat the horn and I would sneak out the window to go have sex. Because that's where I felt like I was loved. So talk about confusion with the identity of sex. And then for God to, like, be there. See, I didn't know in Narcotics, you know, before I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know, like, I could choose a God of my understanding. I could use good orderly direction. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. My life is good. You know, I tried to read, like, a couple things, like, self-centered, self-sufficient, you know, because, like, I have a passion for Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I love it, right? How can I prepare to do a meeting when I'm going to tell you what's from my heart? Because this shit's from my heart, right? Like, talk about self-centered. Like, I'll give you a couple, And I used hard. And when I came in here, I didn't think anybody used like me. You know, and I didn't think people did the things that I did. And then I had to hear some identification on how some people used. See, that's what drew me in. That's what gave me a connection. That's what helped me to understand that I'm not alone. Right? So, you know, I remember back in, you know, I worked on the block. And, you know, I did, like, all those things. I started using at the age of 10. You know, I started helping Tulio, and I remember looking down, and like flags started popping up out of the ground, and like I was like in this like crazy place, and you know, I started running, and like these mansion gates started falling down, and none of this was happening. It was all, you know, what's that called?
Hallucination,
right? So when I came to this church, I came too. And I let go. I said, I'll never do that again. And that's the only thing that I ever let go until I got to Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know what letting go of anything was, you know. I remember, you know, I went into the military thinking, you know, I was incapable of staying clean. I didn't know how I got there. I didn't even know what being clean was. I never knew anything about Narcotics Anonymous, so I did the geographical change. I'll just join the military. I did very well in there until they started piss testing. And I said, I gotta go, right? After I got caught once, and then they took my money, and then gave me some restriction, you know? I had the restriction in basic training because I couldn't stop smoking cigarettes. And, I like to do what I like to do, and I don't feel like you should be able to tell me what to do, because don't you know who I am? You know, I was so delusional, you know, I was legend in my own mind. You know, I remember when I got out, I got into I ended up being in the same place that I was when I left. You know, I remember my son, you know, I was at a house and he was there, and it was time for me, you know, the drug was calling me, and he was like, Mom, please don't go, and he was crying, and he was crying so hard that he was at the toilet throwing up, and I said, you know, just sorry about your luck, but I gotta go. Like, talk about self-centered, you know, but that's a disease, you know, and then, I got in a house raid, and I got out on bail, and in 1995, I was driving down the road down to Baltimore County in Middle River. It was Route 40. A guy hit me on a motorcycle. I watched him slide. The dude beside me said, go, and the dude in back of me said, do what's in your heart. I couldn't identify what what in your heart was, so I left, and the guy died. And, you know, that didn't stop me. I continued to use, and I used, and I eventually turned myself in, but I didn't turn myself in until I couldn't get, all options were exhausted. I couldn't get no more, you know, I couldn't leave the house. I was on the news, you know, people were looking for me. They knew who I was. Somebody told, probably think they were going to get a reward. You know, that was my, stuff, you know. And, you know, it was my first bit down a penitentiary, and I didn't know how to stop going. I got comfortable there, you know. So I was in and out of there for a very long time, you know. And I remember in the courtroom, talk about self-centered. I remember in the courtroom, that guy's mother got up, and she was like, you know, it was my only son. He don't have any kids, and I'll never be able to have a kid. And all I could think about was, man, can you just, like, please, like, you know, calm it down a little bit? Because they're going to give me, like, they're going to fry me. I didn't have any remorse. I didn't have no compassion, empathy. I didn't even know what that was. All I could think about was me. You know, back in September of last year, I started, I do a lot of work on myself, like we all do. And, you know, I do a lot like, for healing. Because, I believe, for me, the recovery process is about healing, right? And, I try to, you know, think about it as like a wound. A wound heals, you know, from the, you know, or a broken bone, it heals from the inside out, right? And, you know, so that's really what, you know, and then like, you know, for my spiritual condition, you know, I never even knew spiritual or spiritual principle or, you know, and I sure as hell didn't think I had any defects. So, you know, back in September, you know, I was doing some work, and one day going in from the parking lot into the building where I work, I started crying. I started mourning the loss of that guy, you know, and I really have compassion for that guy's mom. But it took me, like, you know, thank God that this said more God-centered, less self-centered, and not, you know, God-centered and not self-centered, because I am a work in progress, you know, and the steps are in order for a reason, and you know, I continuously work them. And then the application part took me a while to comprehend that and understand that and really start applying some things, you know. And what had happened, you know, the last time I went down to the penitentiary, They kicked my door in. I was in a hotel. You know, I was going to turn myself in because I was a fugitive. I was going to turn myself in, and turning myself in just never happened. And this was in 2000. And I found out my grandfather had passed away. 2 days before that, he had got buried. The fugitive squad told me that, you know, they weren't there thinking that I would be there and they'd be able to pick me up. And so I remember going down and, you know, they served me with 25, no parole. I'm a four-time felon, 10 consecutive. And I ended up, you know, I used the whole time I was down. I ended up getting 14 years, all suspended for 10 with no parole. I had a little over 5 in down the cut. Right before that, I started going in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I went in to meet a friend, and we went in. I didn't go in there to stay clean. I just like kind of wanted to like see my friend, you know, and it was tight, so we couldn't really like, you know, get out and to the rec, you know, and do all that together. So I went in there for all the wrong reasons, pass notes, whatever. She left, and I ended up staying, still getting high and still using. And then, you know, and why I say I need to be able to identify with people is I remember that lady said a specific amount of cocaine that she used, and I could identify with that. And I thought, wow, you know, and that lady ended up becoming my first sponsor, you know. And I still, you know, I left the penitentiary probably like, I don't know, maybe a year after that. I left with 3 months clean. You know, and God works in my life, and I didn't know this because everything I know is through Narcotics Anonymous and through working the steps and doing a moral inventory and talking to somebody and sorting through the confusion and taking a look and identifying my defects and asking God to help me. But, so, you know, I ended up getting in, and I share that because, like, look, I used anything. It didn't matter. My disease affected me in all ways. And I wanted anything to get outside of myself, and I ended up getting in a relationship down there. And, you know, hey, if you're gay, that's cool, right? So I like to say that I was trisexual, right? I tried it, and what that did, it brought me to a surrender because I ended up being on segregation for 6 months. And after I got out, I seen her walking around with her other girlfriend, and it humiliated me. And I couldn't get enough drugs in me to take away the pain. So when they told me I could go to treatment, I wasn't sure at first. And then they told me I could get out on this, you know, they said you can get out on this 8505. And when the pain got great enough, I said, I'm ready. I stopped using. I said, you know what? I got to try something different. That's when that lady became my sponsor. 3 months later, I ended up going to a behavior modification program. And I've been clean ever since. This is my first time around. I celebrate 10 years on, you know, my anniversary date's May 1st. Listen, like, you know, I don't know, since I've been around, I've heard things, parts of my story, because, like, I shot whiskey, right? Because somebody told me it would, you know, take me outside myself. So I tried. I try anything. It didn't work. So I tried it again. Just in case. Didn't happen for me. You know, that little boy that I left standing at the toilet, you know, this is what the 12 steps and, you know, coming to a surrender and believing, you know, and accepting that I couldn't do this on my own. And that's what, like, self-sufficiency talks about. And I surrendered and knew I couldn't do it alone and asked for help and got a God of my understanding and tried to turn it over the best of my ability, you know, and sat there and was honest with another human being and wrote down all my stuff that I could, you know, because I can only, you know, more will be revealed. I've done a couple 4 steps and things have come up that weren't because, you know, really, I forgot about that guy and how I went outside, you know, and went to his house and whatever to be, you know, being molested because he was rich and he had that stuff to offer, you know, and until I heard Becky share about it, you know, and that's, you know, that's how, you know, coming around here, listening to speakers, identifying and all that, you know, gives us a shot of hope and, you know, we can work on ourselves and gives us the ability to, like, change, you know. But that little boy was 18 when I got clean. And the first time without him having to be on the telephone through the plexiglass or be on the other side of the table, you know. For his 18th birthday, I was able to go out and buy him a crab cake, you know, and pay for it my own money that I worked for. Not trick, work, right? With a legal job that I took taxes, they took taxes out of me, you know? Let me tell you what, like, God has made the impossible possible in my life. First off, I'm clean, a day at a time for over 9.5 years, right? So, you know, when I was in that treatment facility, we had to go out and get a job and stuff like that. And I remember I went down to the Naval Academy and I got this job as a custodian. And I was, you know, I had some entitlement issues. I thought I was above being a custodian. Now, mind you, I did that shit for 5 days and 85 cents, right? You know, in the beginning of my sentence. Then I got an SUI, made $150 a month, and I was big time. But, you know, I was doing something. So, you know, I remember I was down there for about 4.5 years, and they did a background check. The company knew that, you know, that I had felony charges, and they hired people with disabilities, and I was disability because my addiction played off. Like, how God worked in my life. You know what I mean? Because I remember being on Riva Road in Annapolis, right, thinking, what in the hell do I have in common with these people, with these? Because Annapolis, what I thought, because, see, I projected, and, you know, collars, crocodiles or whatever they own, their polo shirts and shit, you know? Like, I'm from the penitentiary, right? And so anyway, what had happened was I ended up landing this job. I was custodian about 4.5 years later. Well, I started going to school. I paid for myself to go to this technical school for computers. I don't even like computers, but I just thought, you know, hey, I'm an addict. I really don't like to work hard, but I like to make money, you know? So I figured I'm going to do this, right? Well, that didn't work out too good for me. I tried for a year to get a job, and in during that time, what had happened was the Naval Academy did fingerprint on me, and they told me, you have 4 felonies, son. You can't work down here with midshipmen. And I'm like, what do you mean? I've been down here all this time, right? To see what Narcotics Anonymous has taught me is to stand up for myself, is to do the footwork and do what I need to do for myself. Because, see, by then, I'm a productive member of society. Mm-hmm. Like, I pay bills. I have a little efficiency. I got some things going on, you know. I'm practicing, you know, I'm sponsoring women. I go to meetings every day. Like, I'm living a life. You know, so what had happened was I put a packet together of government people. I put the packet together, you know, of things that I've accomplished in Narcotics Anonymous, in the school. I got people's character letters, letter from my sponsor. And I went into the, so what I did when they handed me that letter is I called unemployment. I found out who I can appeal it with. And then I called a friend about a job because I have bills, right? And I didn't want to go back to the old ways and means, you know, because it probably was my first, so it was. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? I can grab a package. And, you know, because that's the easiest, right? So anyway, what had happened was I went to the guy with the appeal and I said, listen, I understand what my record looks like, because they just told me about the felonies. They didn't talk about the misdemeanors. I said, I understand what my record looks like, but that is not who I am today. And it's because of Narcotics Anonymous and these spiritual principles that I try to practice in my life to the best of my ability on a daily basis. You know, 3 months later, I ended up getting a job offer with another federal contractor. I just wanted to get the job because I didn't want to be a custodian anymore. And, you know, when I came around, all I could talk about was the penitentiary. I didn't know whether to use a spoon or a fork because I used a fork for so long, right? I was institutionalized. I didn't have a vocabulary. What had happened with this job is they sent me to school to learn Japanese language. I went to Japan 5 times. We launched a satellite. When that satellite was a thermal blanket that I got to sign my name, so I signed Lisa C and put the NA symbol. Now we're universal. Right? God has done things for me that I would never believe. I remember hearing the guy that told me to give me my resume, right? And I remember hearing him when I was in treatment. And then they took us on the van. They took us out to the to a meeting. And I heard him again. And I listened to him. And I heard him say how he, you know, touched things and they're in space. And I thought, wow, good for you. I never thought anything like that was possible for me. But what has happened is... God did things for me without my permission. you know, because I was looking for IT work. I'm still in I'm a contamination control engineering technician, right? That sounds good, don't it? I didn't go to school. I've been promoted twice. And look, none of this is ego. It's just not. It's to give somebody some hope, you know? Like, you know, I kept doing the footwork, And no matter how many times I got denied, I just kept doing it. You know what? And I was such a good employee that if I would have took that job, because see, they gave me that job, and I had that job 2 weeks before they fingerprinted me, knowing what my record looked like. And I stepped out in some courage, and I took a leap of faith, and I did it, because I knew, right? I knew that I was a good employee. So it'll be 4 years since I've been down there, right? And I sit around a table with a group of scientists and talk. We don't talk about the OC. You know? We talk about atmosphere. Who would have thought? You know? Like, my life, and you know what? It's not about the job. It's not, you know, I'm fully self-supporting. I do not decline outside contributions. You get that? I do not. <Just kidding. laughs> Well, maybe. But, you know, and, you know, I was able to buy a house in the process. I'm a landlord. I rent out an apartment, right? And I've done it all on my own. Like, what this is, did it give me an independence? I don't have to rely, like, I rely on my higher power. That's who I rely on. And, you know, for me, it's God, you know, and my God, you know, he is a man, and it's okay, because that's my belief, you know, and I don't have to impose my belief on you, you know. So that little boy, my son, you know, I have so much, I know I have to allow God to work in his life. He's not an addict. He does go out and drink sometimes. That does worry me because he likes to fight. And a friend of mine, his son and his best friend got into a fight. He got hit, fell, hit a curb, and died. And see, and I still, no matter, you know, how much I work and, you know, on myself and all, I still have that guy that died. I still have that, you know, and I still try to, I have to, like, change my, you know, my thought process when I do that, and I just, like, pray, you know, because I know my God's not punishing today. But I still do that, still have that, because I'm human, you know, and I don't know, I just, you know, so I pray for him, allow him in his process. He calls me today, you know, his father raised him. He calls me today and asks me for advice and my opinion and what would I do, and, you know, he talks to me and we have a conversation. You know, I have a grandson. I know that's hard to believe, right? He's six. And he's never seen me use, you know. And that little boy has taught me unconditional love. I never knew what that was until I got into the fellowship. And, you know, I haven't... So what I do today to get me outside of myself is help other people. You know, Becky was saying about working in that facility that she was in. I went down to the penitentiary about a month ago, where I lived for many, many years. I probably spent, I don't know, maybe 9 years there. And I did a orientation to be able to take Narcotics Anonymous meetings in there, right? I was in there with a room of Goucher College professors. There was a Girl Scout mother and me. And they're talking about, like, the population, those people, right? I start getting a little offended, right? Because I feel like, you know, I am those people, right? You know what I mean? Because, you know, even though I don't, like, live there anymore, I know how it feels, you know? So after everybody left, I stayed back and I talked to the lady and I asked her, I said, did you get a chance to take a look at my paperwork? And she's like, yeah, the warden's going to have to specially approve you. And 2 weeks ago, I got an email saying I was approved. Yay. So I'm going to be able, right? That's the only women's penitentiary in Maryland. And there's, like, you know, there's people down there with a lot of time that suffer from the same thing we suffer from. And I just hope that I can just touch one person's life in there and make a difference, you know? And I'm concerned with that today. And when I got here, and even times being here, I didn't care about what anybody else thought, or, you know, it was all about me. And because of this process, you know, I have the ability to love another human being and help them without motivation. I brought CJ some sugar this morning. I said, I got some sugar, and I don't even have a motive, you know, to be extra some sugar. Shit, before, you know, I had to have, what am I going to get out of this, you know? But, right, sugar's for sugar. But anyway, I'm very grateful. Thanks for having me, and I'll keep coming back.